Blog Talk Radio.
Lord, my God, when I am asked for wonder, consider all the words thy hands have made. See the stars. I hear the rolling thunder. Thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then the sings my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sing my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. And when I think that God his Son not sparing sent him to die, I scarce can take it in that on the cross my burden gladly bearing, so evil ever died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sing my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation, mission, and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in a humble proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sing my soul, my Savior God, to thee. now art. How great thou art, then sing my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Amen. Think about God, how great he is. Gives me goosebumps. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And what can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And real precious is thy flow that makes me white as snow. No other fault I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Now for my pardon, this I see, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing, this my plea, nothing but the blood of Jesus. And precious is thy blood that makes me white as snow. No other fault I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Now this is all my hope and peace, nothing but the blood of Jesus. And this is all my righteousness, nothing but the blood of Jesus. And oh, precious is thy blood that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. And oh, precious is thy blood that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. My name is Pastor Mike Peavy with the Golgotha Church of Christ here in Chicago, Illinois, and you're tuning into our evening worship service, which takes place about 6 o'clock. We're on Facebook Live, and we're also on Blog Talk Radio. So we're broadcasting not only in the continental United States and Chicagoland area, but also in Canada as well as Norway at this time. If you'd like to give a call in, call us at 619-924-0767. Again, that's 619-924-0767. We're going to sing a couple more songs. Then we're going to have communion, and then we will get to our scripture, which will be in 1 Peter chapter 5. So a couple more songs, have prayer, have our communion, and then we'll get to our text today, First Peter chapter 5. Let's see. Old-time gospel, if you know it, sing it with me. Give me that old-time gospel, give me that old-time gospel, give me that old-time gospel, and it's good enough for me, makes me love everybody, makes me love everybody, makes me love everybody, and it's good enough for me. It has saved all our fathers. It has saved all our fathers. It has saved all our fathers. And it's good enough for me. It will then to heaven. It will take us then to heaven. It will take us then to heaven. And it's good enough for me. Oh, give me that old time gospel. Give me that old time gospel. Give me that old time gospel. It's good enough for me. It was good for Paul and Silas. It was good for Paul and Silas. It was good for Paul and Silas. And it's good enough for me. Well, give me that old time gospel. Give me that old time gospel. Give me that old time gospel. And it's good enough for me. Amen. Blessed assurance. Then we'll have a word of prayer. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. For this is my story, this is my soul, praising my Savior for the good old. For this is my story, this is my soul, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, big delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending, bring from above, echoes of mercy, whispers of love. For this is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, raising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am I happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. For this is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior something we should do every moment of the day. Praise our Savior all day long. Let us have a word of prayer. Then we will start it with our communion and get to the text today. Father God, in the sweet name of Jesus, Father, we thank you for who you are and what you do. Father, we love you, we adore you, and we ask you to continue to help us, mold us, shape us, make us all over again, creating me a clean heart, as David said. Father, that we will be able to do your work and be able to magnify you and glorify you in everything that we do. Father, we love you, we adore you on this day, and we thank you for just strengthening us and giving us the ability to see this day, a day in history that has never been before, and a day as it closes out in history that will never be again. And you saw fit. It was your decree that we would be here. And so we pray that we don't waste this day, but that we take this day to learn to have a deeper relationship with you, to help someone else see who you are, to magnify, teach, or love somebody in a way that they will be able to ask the question, who is the God that you serve? That they will see another look, that they will see another direction, that they will see another force at work in our bodies. As we continue to love you, we continue to work for you, as we continue to magnify you and glorify your name. Father, we're praying for all the victims of the Hurricane Florence and all those that have been tragically dealing with the situation in the East Coast. We're thankful that you saw fit to downgrade the Category 4 to a tropical storm. Father, we're praying for safety for those workers in that area, safety for those that have been moving around in that area that had to evacuate or having to stay there. Father, we're praying for advantage. We're praying that our government, the FEMA, will come through in a manner that they had not in before. We're thankful for the programs that is there, and we understand the timing is what it is. Father, but we also understand that people are hurting. And so we pray that there will be an immediacy that takes place, as has been reported, that folks will be able to be handled and helped and aided and assisted accordingly. Father, as we go toward the Word of God today, we thank you for the Word of God, for it's a lamp to our feet, it's a light into our path, and it continues to mold us and shape us and conduct us and create us, help us to be better thinkers, help us to see the mind of Christ. So, Father, we just thank you for it. We thank you for allowing us to see a portion of you. We thank you for you allowing us to continue to learn more and more and have a deeper relationship with you. Father, we just love you so much. And we just want to continue to pray for those that are sick and afflicted, those that all the college students and all the students back in school, praying for the teachers as well, Father, that they will continue to mold the minds of our young leaders today and beyond. Father, we're praying that tragedy ceases. We're praying that killing will cease, that fratricide will cease. And we're praying, Father, that we will be our brother's keeper, that we will learn to hug one another, learn to love one another as you have loved us, that we will take an attitude of in spite of to continue to move forward. Oh, Father, it's only because of you that we know what love is all about. It's only because of you that we have the idea, and it's the example that you gave to us in mission-mindedness of not turning back, that we too must be directional in what we do for you. Father, this is our prayer. Correct us when we're wrong, build us up when we're weak, and strengthen us when we've been torn down. And for everyone that will hear the sound of this message, Father, we pray that it will be a blessing to them and that it will strengthen them in ways that you know that they so readily stand in need of. This is our prayer today. In Jesus' name, let us collectively say amen, amen, and amen again. Alas, indeed, my Savior bleed, and did my soul in die. Would ye devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? It was at the cross, where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart went away. It was there by faith I received my sight. And now I am happy of the day. Was it for crimes that I have done? He groaned upon a tree. Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. It was at the cross, where I first saw the light and the burdens of my heart went away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy of the day. We find in Acts 20 and 7, that it was upon the first day of the week when the disciples came together to break bread. We see that Paul continues teaching in 1 Corinthians 11th chapter, beginning in verse number 23, where he says, I received of the Lord that which I have delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, in the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And after he had broken and gave thanks, he broke and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, he also took the cup. And after he had sup, saying that this cup is the new testament or the new blood, drink ye all of it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and you drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death until he come. But let a man examine himself. For he that eateth the bread and drinketh the cup unworthily, drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause, many were sick and weakly among them. Let's give thanks for the bread and the wine. Father, thank you for this bread, which is your broken body, and this cup, which is your shedded blood. We pray we take it with clean hands and a pure heart as we look to Jesus as the author and the finisher of our faith. All these blessings we ask in Jesus. Let's collectively say amen, amen, and amen again. You may take of the bread and the wine. It was at the cross, where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart went away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy of the day. Amen. Let's follow for what we have striven. After our labors are over, rest to us soul will be given unto it, unto the officer. Oh, it's that home of the soul, beautiful home, there we shall rest. Never to roam, we are free from all care. Happy and bright, you know Jesus, he's there. Here they are, and often the storm. Lonely are we, sighing for home, longing for thee. It's the beautiful home of the ransom beside the crystal sea, crystal sea. Amen. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 5. Interesting text here in 1 Peter chapter 5. I'm going to start reading at verse number 1, and we'll pick up the message that we're looking for in verse number 6 and verse number 7. 1 Peter chapter 5. I'm going to start reading at verse number 1. Actually, I'm going to start reading in chapter 4, verse number 12. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. And our focus today will be on 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. I'll be reading from the Holman Christian Standard Bible. You read from your translation. The text says this. The Bible says this. Dear friends, don't be surprised when the fiery ordeal comes among you to test you, as if something unusual were happening to you. Instead, rejoice as you share in the sufferings of the Messiah. Amen. So that you may also replace with great joy at the revelation of his glory. If you are ridiculed for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the spirit of glory and of God rests on you. Amen. None of you, however, should suffer as a murderer, suffer as a thief, suffer as an evildoer, or suffer as a meddler. But if anyone suffers as a Christian, he should not be ashamed, but should glorify God in having that name. For the time has come for judgment to begin with God's household. And if it begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who disobey the gospel of God? Disobedience has a cost. And if a righteous person is saved with difficulty, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? And those who suffer according to God's will should, while doing what is good, entrust themselves to a faithful Creator. Amen. Those who suffer according to God's will should, while doing what is good, entrust themselves to a faithful Creator. Therefore, because of all this, Peter says, as a fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of the Messiah, and also a participant in the glory about to be revealed, I exhort the elders among you, shepherd God's flock among you, not overseeing out of compulsion, but freely, according to God's will. Not for the money, but eagerly, lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. In the same way, you younger men, be subject to the elders, and all of you clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Let me read verse number 5 again. In the same way, you younger men, be subject to the elders, and you, and all of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. You ever wanted to know why other folks are getting the advantage and you are pulling your hair out? Because God resists the proud. Excuse me. And gives grace to the humble. Verse number 6, where our text begins today. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your care on him, because he cares about you. Humility, the mighty hand of God, exaltation, and God cares. Humble yourselves. Isn't it interesting that in the word humble or humility, in the world there's something called humble pie. And that means that when you are constantly going back and forth, bickering and arguing with one another over stuff and things that ain't worth two dead flies with the wings burnt off of it, somebody got to have some sense. And so to take humble pie means to lower yourself. Even though you may be right, it may not be expedient at that time, so allow someone else to have the argument. Because arguing one another is not getting you anywhere, and that's not what God wants from his people. He wants us to be able to encourage one another. And even when we talk about the difficult things, it's based off our relationship with one another that we should be able to talk about more stringent meeting matters. But even in those rough and tough conversations, not supposed to be like rock and sock and robots or shoot 'em up. It's supposed to be a matter of understanding one another, reasoning among one another. See, when one reasons with one another, both of you lower thyself. Both parties lower thyself so that God can hear. Or that you can hear what God has to say, recognizing that you may be wrong in some part of the matter, even though you are right in other parts. Humility is an attitude that we must have. And without humility, God resists the proud. Sometimes we as Christians find ourselves getting beat up on or not being blessed in manner that we thought we had been praying for so long, and we're looking for an answer, and God has not granted that yet. Why? Because we have not eaten humble pie. We have not lowered ourselves under the what? The mighty hand of God. See, many times we don't realize that God's hand is powerful. We know it, but we become little power mechanisms ourselves. But do you understand that God with one swipe could take us out? Do we really understand the power and the might of God's hand? Let's just take a look at today. Look at the earth and in the end times where there are volcanoes going all over the place. they're erupting, that we have wildfires taking place and no rain in certain parts of the country and in the world, where these fires have become like kindling and burning up neighborhoods. On the other side, you have more water than you can contain with right now in the East Coast under Hurricane Florence. They're taking a lashing because the Lord's hand is mighty. Someone asked me, one of my customers today asked me, when you see all this, is it a sign, knowing that I'm a minister? I said, the Bible says that when we see these things, not to be alarmed, but recognize that these are just the beginning of growing pains. And it's awareness to us that we can't handle what we see right now. But we need to understand that there's an eternal judgment we'll never understand and won't be able to make it through. So we want to be on God's side. In order to be on God's side, we must take humble pride. We must exercise humility. We must not always have to be right, even though you can be correct. Sometimes you must give up the right for righteousness' sake. Never lose your position to be able to teach, because you want to be able to help someone in their time of need. So God resists the proud, and he gives grace to those that are humble. Grace is unmerited favor. It's like receiving a gift card to go shopping with, or a gift card to go purchase something with, a gift card that I can use right now when I don't even deserve it. I didn't work for it. I didn't apply for it. But it is an attaboy given to us by God. Where judgment could come into place, he's granted his grace and mercy. And it says, that's my boy, that's my girl, that's my child. And God's pleased with how he doles out his grace. God's hand is so mighty that we can see it work in other areas. We can see the presence of God as we take a look at this global warming, how you don't know what climate it is. Summer, winter, spring, or fall. Sometimes you don't understand where it's at. Is it spring when it's snowing? Is it summer when it's raining beyond compare? Right? Is it fall? When all of a sudden frost comes into play, and all of a sudden you find the grass covered with newly white snow, we can't understand the difference. And then you have construction on top of that. There's just a season made by man, but they'll never go away. But God's hand is mighty. How is it mighty? Because in spite of all of the difficulties that we find ourselves going through, it is God that it allows you to not only witness it, but to go with purpose. God's hand is mighty. If he directs you, if he guides you, he holds on to God's unchanging hand. My wife always has the saying, and it's so true, if we keep our little hands in God's big hands, everything's going to be all right. Everything will be all right. As long as you don't let go of the hand of God. God's hand is powerful. God's hand has grip. God's hand is something that you can hold on to, cling to. God's hand can support you. God's hand can guide you. God's hand will carry you through. Hold on to the mighty, powerful hand of God. So that we may, so that he may exalt us at the proper time. This word exalt, which I like to call the elevator of love, to be lifted up, to be positioned only comes from God. So you just stay in the bullpen. You stay in the game. You continue to do the work of God on an individual level. And God in his time will exalt you. See, the problem we exalt ourselves, we have nothing to fall off back on because we can't support ourselves. But when you're holding on to the mighty hand of God and God is under you, when God exalts you, nobody, including the devil, can pull you back. When God positions you, he positions you so that everyone can see you. Why? Because you are now glorifying him. Yes, we are God's tentacles. Yes, we are God's feet. Yes, we are God's fingers. Yes, we are God's masterpiece. You are wonderfully made, people. God has formed you. He has molded you. And through experiences and difficulties, he has created you to be who you are and to witness this day and to go forth and shout it and glorify his name. God will position you. He will put you in places where others will see you. And if you really have faith in God, then understand that God will place you where your feet will not walk on its own. Why? Because we are scared people. We are belittled people. But if you allow God to take you, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For you are with me. God will leave you out there alone. He will take you and position you accordingly. If it's on the job, God has you stand accordingly. If it's in the grocery store, God has you stand accordingly. Let us say make a mockery or become a public spectacle, but truth is open to investigation. And until someone sees that you will truly believe what you believe, they won't investigate what it is that you say. Allow God to exalt you. His exaltation. His protocol. Purple heart. Will lead you all the way. His crown. Will lead you all the way to heaven. Am I heaven bound? It's based on how I allow God to exalt. And my exaltation will be rooted in love. Because God is love. So I can't be a hater and expect God to exalt me. I can't be not humble and expect God to exalt. You've been praying for something for a long time and you still find out that nothing's happened, nothing's moved on. Why? Because your attitude denotes your altitude. Do you understand that God died for you? He came and died for each and every one of us. Took our place so that we can be in heaven. And some of us don't want to go. Some of us are too proud to go. Some of us will not humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God. He can exalt us. And before I close out, I want us to understand that he's going to exalt you in his proper time. God's timing is perfect in every iota. God's timing. You may, why did he take so long? What God positions so that people can see. He may be waiting for others to come before he makes a move. So that you can share that with them. Why? So they'll never be able to say they didn't hear. And then when God puts you in that position, don't be like Jonah running to Nineveh, running to Tarshish, when you're supposed to be in Nineveh. Make sure that you deliver the call, that you fulfill God's mission he has set for you. Otherwise, you have to deal with a God that's not pleased with you. And then it says, casting all your care on him because he cares for you. I don't care what it is. I don't care what your background has been. I'm not concerned about who your people are or what your gang affiliation or fraternity affiliation is. I know that you have problems. You have trouble, things that worry you, things that don't hunker you down, things that concern you. May this be the safety of children today. If something is bothering you, even at this moment, and we need to understand that God cares about that. Even though you can't see him moving, don't mean he's not moving. Number one, he's still sustaining you by holding your hand and holding you up. But he's omnipresent God, out front working out the problem, out front moving for the advantage for his children. So that when he begins to not only exalt you or to bring you to the situation, then all of a sudden you have clear passage. You have a way to just move and to glorify God. God cares about you. Come on, brother preacher, you keep saying that, but man, I pray to God, I feel like he don't hear me. I feel like, man, I've just messed up so much that God don't want me no more. The fact that you can still say God, the fact that you can still consider that, says to me that you don't truly believe that what you say, but that you do know that God cares and that all you have to do is do right. Don't be too proud to ask God to forgive you. Every last one of us, including myself, has messed up, has thought wrong, maybe acted wrong or done wrong, and has asked to ask for forgiveness from God. Sometimes it's ignorantly, but sometimes, much like Moses, you let people get on your nerves and you end up willfully sinning. My prayer is an omission and commission. Those things that I know about, those things I don't know about, I'm asking God to forgive me so that I can have a clean slate, so that I can serve people in a manner in which he would have served me. God has blessed me. 53 years old, God has blessed me to fulfill my childhood dream twice over. God has blessed me beyond compare. And now God has called me to serve. And so I'm here to serve him in whatever capacity that I can. And I don't need man's sanction when God has already said, go, son. All I need to do is obey the Savior who will save me. Oh, that don't mean that God doesn't have protocol and I want to be disrespectful. No, this whole text is based on the fact that the younger need to respect their elders. Treat the older men as fathers and treat the older women as mothers. But don't disrespect God by being non-compliant in movement. Don't get paralysis by analysis. But all you want to do is analyze, and you never put it into gear for action. God wants you to talk to people about who he is and what he has for them. And they are to see blessing through you, the glorification through you that would spark them to want to ask the question. Who is this God that you talk about? It don't matter how strung out a person is. It don't matter how straight a person is. It don't matter how homophobic a person is. What we have to do is make sure that we serve God in a manner that he is pleased with. There are some things that God hates. The Bible is very clear with that. And so if God hates them, you cannot try to twist God's opinion by gravitating to them and saying, oh, well, God will be all right. No. If God hates it, he ain't pleased with you welcoming it. But if you make a stand, you may stop the practice of, or at least give them the inclination to look into something. Now, it may or may not. That's not your job to convert. That's the Holy Spirit's job to convert. Your job is to plant a seed, water a seed, and let God give increase. So we are to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Allow God's word to lead our lives, to guide our lives, to move us in a manner, and to strengthen us in our daily walk. We don't have to be fearful because we have a strong arm to lean on. He's my rock in a weary land. He's my wheel in the middle of a wheel. You see that God's arm, his hand, his whole anthropomorphic body is where we want to be. If the woman who had an issue of blood could receive strength and virtue by touching the hem of his garment, how much power do you think he has in his hand? And for us to be able to grip the hand of God, it's based off of a love relationship with God. A relationship that means care, a relationship that means intimacy. How intimate are you with God today? Oh, God knows your every secret. But are you willing to surrender? And then also we need to understand that God will exalt us in due time. He will position us. Don't be a person constantly looking for attention. Someone will always give you attention, but it will be the wrong attention. God sends you and puts you in and molds you and places you where he wants you to be. And we need to work out our soul salvation through fear and trembling right there under the mighty hand of God. But some of us are so impatient. There must be something else that we want to work our way out. And so you fight when you should be humble, servant. Why? Because we serve a God that is the greatest example. His care went all the way to Golgotha Hill, where he took your place and my place on an old rugged cross and died an excruciating death for you and I, so that we may have a right to the tree of life. I don't know about you, but I love God. I love him so much that I'm going to continue to serve him the rest of my life. He gives me air to suck and gives me the ability to breathe. Gives me spirit and strength. I'm going to share him with somebody every day of my life. I don't need big cathedrals. I was told by a preacher that I found to be true. If you just get your lesson, the pulpit will appear. It's not based off of four walls. It's based off of yearning souls that want to hear truth. And so like Jesus, we're Christian. We need to be able to go in and out among the people and share the truth. Those that make more income than you do shouldn't bother you because you're content in God. But you should be able to share the coin. Those that make less than you should be able to help. Why? Because your cup runs over. God gives you enough to take care of yourself, sustain yourself, and help somebody else. Quit throwing a pity party. Quit looking like you don't have help. Quit letting the world mold you when God has already dressed you. Hope, trust, and pray this lesson has blessed you. If you're here today and you stand in the need of prayer, look live and you want to call us in, call in to 619-924-0767, and we will take your request, prayer request, confession, whatever we need to discuss. If you want to just type it in on Facebook, we will pray for that as well. Pray for us all, for we all stand in need of prayer. It's decision time. If you love God, know that God loves you. And if God died for you, what are you willing to do for him? Come to him open arms, saying, Lord, save me. Jesus says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly. You shall find rest for your soul. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Let's have a word of prayer. Father God, in the sweet name of Jesus, thank you for who you are, what you do. Thank you for the word of God, which is a lamp to our feet and a light into our path. Father, we ask you to continue to strengthen us and bless us in ways that you know we so readily stand in need of. Those that have something on their heart and on their mind, Father, we ask you to continue to help them. Be with the family, be with those that are sick and afflicted, those that are going through difficult times, that thorn in the side. Those that are helpless, those that are homeless, and those that are treated as second-class citizens. Help us all to understand that you have put us all on the same level as children of yours. Doesn't matter what our income barrier is. Doesn't matter what our skin color is. We are your children. If we surrender to you, you will take care of us and treat us as we need to be. We thank you for this. Thank you for the word of God. And we thank you for those souls. When we know it goes out, does it come back void? This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Let's collectively say amen. Amen and amen again. You go to the Log Talk line where I see my wife is always on. Want to give her an opportunity to have some words of encouragement for even the ladies that may be listening overseas or here locally. It's always good to be able to hear from a woman of God. Honey, are you there? Are you there at this time? Okay, maybe she has nothing to say at this time. That's fine. Just continue to pray for myself and my wife, for the work that God has given us. Continue to go forward. Pray for our children that are off at college, our young leaders that we've supported, that they will continue to strive and to be everything God would have for them to be. And if there's nothing else, let's go to God in prayer. Father God, thank you for this word. Thank you for these people. I ask you to continue to bless us and keep us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Do something for somebody that can't repay you for giving Jesus Christ and him crucified. Have a great day in the Lord. God bless in the name of Jesus.